You had a piece that was in the Seattle Times with a video.
Uh-huh, yes.
Can you read that?
Sure.
Do you have that handy?
I have that downstairs. I can bring it.
Yeah, so at Seattle U, I'm teaching poetry of place. And we're looking at historically, over time, how writers have engaged with place. And so I'm going to give them a sample of different ways of cities and how people have engaged with cities, kind of big, because I want, at the end, to have a book of Seattle. All the students are going to write different pieces, not necessarily poetry, but at the end we'll have a collection of stories and essays and blog entries about Seattle. And I think it will be kind of a handbook of, you know, a field manual. And so I wanted to, so I have this poem that I was gonna show them the video and show them Luis Rodriguez's video of L.A. Have you seen that poem?
I have not.
Yeah, the L.A. Times, so the L.A. Times put one of his poems about L.A. on a Vimeo. And then the reporter at the Seattle Times saw it and thought, this is so cool. Do you have a poem about Seattle that we could do that? And so it was a team of people who put the video together to the words of this poem.
And you already had this poem?
Yeah, it's the first poem that I wrote for the city of Seattle in my official capacity as poet, civic poet.
Seattle's poem.
Seattle's poem, yeah. Read it?
Sure.
Okay. Seattle's poem. Seattle is a house perched on the comings and goings of water and wind, ripple of fish, feather of crow, early morning fairy yawn. Seattle, I say, and invoke a man and a place, the two inseparable, not proportional, not parallel, but as language is to poem and salt to sea. I watch bridges, bicyclists, boats, summer blankets tendered on public lawns. I watch fiery sunsets tango and sway above jagged peaks and autumn trees bursting gold up and down hilly streets. Nevertheless, before I postcard and gloss and more sunsets and more trees find their way into my lines, I must confess the house's foundation is in places brittle, and many rooms are dark for windows lack. Plenty have I been on the receiving end of rehearsed indifference, heard enough shallow arguments on who belongs here to wake up scooping ocean water with a spoon. We are all here that need to be. The city is concrete and steel, plus the sum of its people. Every day we destroy our house and race to remake it. Those narrow windows block future's view. Mute voices that need to be heard muffle the sound of the falling tree limb, heavy with ripe plums. Every day we tread over Chief Self's legacy, his prophetic words. At night, when the streets will be silent and you think them deserted, they will throng with the returning hosts that once filled them and still love this beautiful land. We are not alone. Save for his people, we are all immigrants here. Waiter, teacher, artist, worker, nurse, we belong, all of us belong. Seattle is a house we all need to afford.
And since you wrote that, housing prices have gone up.
Even more.
They have gone up incredibly.
Yeah.
To the point where we're talking, the average house in Seattle is over $500,000, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in some neighborhoods, even more than that.
Well, and yeah, that's the average.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can imagine what it's like.
Yeah.
What happens to a city when it's too expensive for artists to live in it? We're finding that out in San Francisco with a tech bro who goes to the movie theater and doesn't even want to see homeless people and is vilified for his asshole comments, as he should be.
Yeah.
What happens to a city when artists can't live there?
Well, you know, I think Seattle is the city that it is because of the artists who live here, frankly. Mm-hmm. It would not be as welcoming and as wonderful as it is because the arts are everywhere in Seattle, all sorts of artistic expression. And I think when it goes away, there's a hardening. you know?
Is there a chance that with people like Shama Sawant, we have a chance, artists have a chance, low-income people have a chance to stay here, do you think? Are you hopeful?
I mean, I'm hopeful. I think it will take more than just her, you know?
But I mean, I see her as a sign, I mean, a socialist city council member, a sign that maybe there's the beginnings of a countervailing force to the kind of casino capitalism that the United States has become, with the casino capital clown running it.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, I remain hopeful, but these are very drawn out battles, I think, you know, over housing, and more than just a few people need to get involved to put pressure. I mean, that's how change comes about. It's nobody's going to do it for you. You have to organize and stand and push back again and again and again for this to happen. And, you know, one of the things, and artists have to understand, because we make our art, it's a lonely endeavor a lot of the times, because we're in our heads, or we're creating in the studio, and we need to understand that is not enough, that we are in the world, and we have to step outside of our creations and be engaged with the community at large to be able to survive and maintain what we love. I mean, it's capitalism is ruthless, and it will do what it will do, you know, and it will not consider a small artist, right? I mean, look at Amazon. They're taking over the city now. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening. Talk about place, right? And how it is just a place, it's now its place. It's not all the little businesses and all the stuff that was down there no longer. There is no place for anybody else. It's it. And then I think of the people who work there, right? Who are benefiting from, you know, great salaries. And that's good. That's good. But they also have to understand that they're not isolated, that they are part of a larger thing, and that the quality of life hinges so much on people who sing. And I, by that, by singing, I mean poets and writers and painters and dramaturgs. You know, theater scene here is great in Seattle. And so, I don't know.
The businesses around Amazon don't do well outside of business hours.
Yeah.
And they're closing outside of business hours, some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
How did you decide to apply for the gig of being the state poet laureate?
Yeah, that was I thought about it a lot. That was not an easy decision to make, because I was just coming out of doing the Seattle gig. And I really, when I started with the job as the Seattle civic poet, it was clear to me that I was going to do certain things, and I was going to do them. Like traveling the city, writing with all these folks, that's something I wanted to do. And so I gave a lot to it, which is what I wanted to do. But then there's a moment where you feel like, okay, I need to replenish. And so there was doubt about engaging with an even bigger job and more demanding job. But, you know, I also thought about where I am as a person and about where we are as a country. And I thought, maybe this is a moment where somebody who has all the intersections that I have could be in a place to offer a different understanding of who immigrants are. And not just immigrants in general, but these are the vilified immigrants from Central America. You know, the Salvadorans and the Guatemalans, right? And now the Haitians, you know, that's before. I mean, I made that decision before this comment came about.
The shithole comment.
Yes.
Which shithole, of course, is an anagram of his hotel. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, I
wasn't the guy who figured that out, but I wish I was.
Wow. No, I did not know that. Yeah. So I thought, this is really a chance to bridge, to offer a bridge, not only to, you know, as an immigrant, a Salvadoran immigrant, but linguistically, so as somebody who could speak two languages. And also, I thought of Eastern Washington and the kids in Eastern Washington and the folks in Eastern Washington. And I thought of myself coming into being a writer and how much I would have loved to have seen a Salvadoran writer writing in the public eye, and how that would have done something for me, and how here I am in the position where I could do that. And so that, I think, is ultimately what I thought, okay, I'll throw my ring in the hat and then I will have no regrets. I will have done it. And whatever comes out, what comes out. The big thing was stepping into it and then, you know, understanding that if it went my way, let's say, and I was chosen, then I was prepared to take on the responsibility. And if it didn't, I had done what I felt was being asked of me to do. And so that's why I submitted the application.